I'll say good morning. A lot to do, not a lot of time. So we left off. Today's daf is Kuf Yud 110. We left off on 109b, Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Remember, again, we have a lot to do today. V Beis Ema. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28. 28 lines from the bottom. I should have counted from the top. But again, counting from the top would have been too depressing. So we're going to count from the bottom. 28 lines. So also remember, we're dashing the pasuk over here. So remember again, one of the things that the Braisa quoted that one should stay away from is literally inserting oneself or attaching oneself lidvar halacha, to a matter of law, to a matter of halacha. Now, what is this talking about? So the Gemara says, "Bedaina da asadin lekame." This is talking about judges for whom a particular case came before them, and what happened? The gamar halacha. When what happens, they went ahead, a particular case came before them, and they remember a halacha in a similar case. They compare the similar case to the case in front of them, and what happens? The isli rabba velo azil mishal, and their Rebbe is local, but they don't go to ask him. So in other words, they just assume that pretty much we could compare the present case to the previous case without essentially doing the due diligence to really examine the merits of the case in front of them. Such a situation, the Braisa says, one should stay away from. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonason, li'olam yira dayin asmo kilim cherev munachas lo bein yirei kosov. So a person, a dayin, a judge, should always see as if there is a sword literally resting between his legs. The Gehenem pesuchalo metachtov, and Gehenem is open up underneath him. In other words, that a dayan should realize that when he makes a decision about halacha, there is an incredible amount that is resting on that particular decision, and he must be exceptionally vigilant in how he issues that particular decision. The Gemara says, Shnei Mar Hinei Mitaso Shal Shlomo Shishim Giborim Savlam Migibori Yisrael. As the pasuk says, this is the bed of Shlomo, 60 of the strongest people surrounding him. Mipachad Balelos, because of fear of night. What does that mean? Mipachad Shal Gehenem Shedomo Lailos. The Gemara's understanding over here that Mitaso Shal Shlomo is a reference to the throne of Shlomo Melech, that when he would adjudicate cases, he would surround himself with the 60 strong men, the 60 wisest men of Klal Yisrael, because he was so scared of issuing an erroneous ruling. Two dots. So our shir this morning is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Martyr in memory of Hilda Martyr, Hinda Basrab, Aaron Yosef, Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama has an aliyah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel Omer in Miyana. So also remember, this is going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was discussing the particular case about what happens if Lemaisa, two brothers, were married to two women. One was a Gedola, one was a Ketana. And the husband of the Gedola dies. Gedola falls for Yibum to the husband of the Ketana. So the Shaila is now, of course, Yibum can't happen because a man can't marry two sisters. So what do we do with these women? So remember, Rabbi Gamliel was the one who said that Lemaisa, we don't encourage the young girl to do Miyun. Rather, we wait till she gets older. If she decides to remain in the marriage, then Lemaisa, again, there's no Yibum because, again, the Yavama is the wife's sister. If she decides that she doesn't want in the marriage anymore, then Lemaisa, Yibum could occur. That was Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel just said we just wait till she gets older. If she decides not to do Miyon, then Lemaisa, again, no Yibum occurs. Says the Gemara, Boimini Rabbi Lazar Meirav, my time to Rabbi Gamliel. What's Rabbi Gamliel's logic? We assume the kasavar kiddushe ketana mil satalu, because Rabbi Gamliel holds that the kiddushe of a ketana kind of is in suspended animation. It's kind of we wait to see if it's going to be effective or not. V'chi gadla gadli bahada afa gavdalo baal. So we'll say, so therefore again, essentially the kiddushin of a ketana are kind of waiting to kick into effect until she becomes a gedola, and once she becomes a gedola, that kiddushin takes effect, even if what? Even if Lamai said there was no bia, once she becomes a gedola. That's one possibility. Odim, the other possibility is Mishum the Kasavar, Hamakadesh, Achos Yivama, Niftira Yivama, Vahalchala. Or the other possibility is because Rav Gamliel holds that once you Mekadesh, the sister of the Yivama, ultimately, again, the Yavama is exempt from any kind of Yibam or Chalitza. And that would be the case over here of Kiddushei Ketana. And therefore, again, that only works, however, I Baalin, I Lo Baalo. But of course, that would only be true if at the end of the day, the Baal, the husband or the Yavam, has relations with his current wife, with the Ketana, once she becomes a Gedola. He responded, no, the reason Rabbi Gamliel is the following. Because Rabbi Gamliel holds that when you are Mekadish, the sister of the Yivama, which Rabbi says is what happened in this case over here. Remember, now he was Mekadish, the sister of the Yivama, before she was Yivama. Right? But we'll call him second husband, was Mekadish the Kitana. And therefore, again, because of that, there is no yibum when the husband of the older wife dies. Therefore, ibal in ilo baal lo. Therefore, again, in order for this marriage to be effective, lemaisa, what has to happen? What has to happen is there has to be bia once she becomes a gidola. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amina, so Rav Sheshes said, I think, kinayim v'shachiv rav amar lahashmaita. I think that Rav was half asleep when he issued this ruling, which is another way of saying I don't think he's totally correct. This is because we learned in a brisa, mekadish hakitana kidusheha teluyin, because we learned in a brisa that when one is mekadish hakitana, her kidushin literally is teluyin. It's suspended. It's suspended. Now, what does that mean? My teluyin lav ki gadla gadle bahada va'afa gadlo ba. So what that presumably means is what? That lemaisa, again, that kiddushin is kind of there, but it's not fully vested. Not fully what? Where did you? Actualized. Good. It's not fully actualized, and it's only once she becomes a gedola that it becomes fully actualized. And that becomes actualized, by the way, just by the mere passage of time, once she becomes a gedola, even if there is no bia once she became a gedola. Armeli Ravin Breid Rav Nachman, Hamil Sadiktana, Mitla Talya, Vikaima. I Baalin, I Lo Baal Lo. This idea, so Ravin Breid Rav Nachman said, you're right, that this idea of Viktana, Kiddushay Kitana, Mitla Tali, Rashi says, Koyume Katnos, Safek Yival, Mishitagdil, Vatia Ishto, Safek Lo Yival, Velo Samchadaita. The truth is, you're right, the Kiddushin of a Kitana is suspended. But Lamaisa, the only way that that marriage is concretized is how? If there is Bia once she becomes a Gidola. The Amro, who Adif Minoi, Va'ana Adif Namine, because this marriage is already a little bit in suspended animation. Because on one hand, she could say, he's stronger than me, and he could say, I'm stronger than her. How so? The Gemara, because we also say, Rashi points out over here, the Amro Iyu Adif Minoi, because on one hand she says he's stronger than me because he could divorce me with the get against my will, but on the other hand I'm stronger than him because while she's still a kitana, what could she do? She could do mion and totally dissolve the marriage. So because this marriage is like in this suspended animation, it's not just enough for her to become a gedola to solidify the marriage or to actualize the marriage, rather bia has to occur as well. The savarav, and Abbas, I want to be clear, all this entire discussion is all by Kiddushay Kitana Dirabanan. Because obviously, if a father marries off his minor daughter, that is biblical marriage. V'savarav ibaal in ilo ba'alo. Is that true that Rav holds that in order for Kiddushay Kitana to be actualized or to be concretized, once she becomes a gidola, that there has to be bia? Is that true that he holds that way? Vaha itmar kitana shlomiyana vigdila va'amda v'nises. If you have a kitana that didn't do miyun and she got older, right? She got older, right? She became a gedola va'amda v'nises. And then Rabbi said, what happens? She married someone else. Okay, so she was married. So her brother, her mother married her off. Kiddushay Dirabanan. She 13 years old. She decides now again that she's marrying someone else. She never got a get. She never received a get from the first husband. Right, so she marries a second guy. So what's that halacha? Rav Amar in Letzvicha get Misheni. Rav says she does not need a get from the second guy. Why doesn't she need a get from the second guy? Presumably, because she's married to the first. I will say, remember, it's no different if a woman, a married woman, decides that she doesn't like her husband anymore, so she decides to marry another guy. Just one technical detail. She didn't get a get, right? How does she dissolve that second union? And the answer is, she doesn't have to, because there is no second union. So Rav says, therefore, again, that this kitana, who remained with her husband once she became a gedola, and then decides to marry another man, doesn't require a get from the second guy, who's Shmuel Lamer.
What's the age of that?
Was 12 years old and 6 months. 12 and a half. Correct. Correct. So Ushmuel, Shmuel says, Tzricha get Misheni. Shmuel says, no, she does require a get from the second one. Top of Kuf Yod, my love, Delo Baal. This must be a case over what? Where there wasn't Bia. And therefore, because there wasn't Bia, that's why Rav says, there wasn't Bia, and yet Rav still says that what? She doesn't require get from the second husband, which tells you what? That marriage with a kitana is actualized when she becomes a gidola, even in the absence of biyah. To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo debal, I don't understand why you say that. You could just as easily frame it as a situation where there was biyah. But e debal, my time is Shmuel. But if there was biyah, then how could Shmuel possibly say that what? She does require a get. Rabbi, remember, if you say that she does require a get, that means that her first marriage was not good. So how could Shmuel say that if there was biyah? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Kasavar kalabol adaski dushna rishonim hudubal. Because Shmuel holds that when there is biyah, the biyah that this man has with his wife when she becomes a gedola is predicated on the kiddushin that he had with her from the beginning. The kiddushin that he had with her from the beginning was what? Was lemaisa rabbinic kiddushin of a kitana. So therefore, again, that biyah, throughout that, see, essentially what Shmuel is saying is, in order for him to really affect full marriage with her, it's almost as if he'd have to do the whole process with her again once she becomes a gedola. But if he's just having biyah with her now as a solidification of the marriage that he affected with her when she was a kitana, then such a biyah does not create biblical marriage. If you look at Rashi, he says, But one second, Rav and Shmuel already had this argument early on. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here, what the Gemara wanted to suggest was that originally, the case over here was where there was no biyah once this ketana wife became a gedola. And therefore, Rav is still saying that even without biyah, the marriage becomes fully vested once she becomes a gedola. The Gemara now is suggesting that Lamai said, no, they're actually arguing in a case of biyah. Aye, but then how could Shmuel say that the second marriage is effective? Because Shmuel holds that the biyah, that ultimately when there is biyah in a situation like this, his biyah is really an extension of the first kiddushin, and since the first kiddushin was weak, it was only rabbinic kiddushin. Therefore, again, technically speaking, if she accepts biblical kiddushin from another man, that marriage will actually be a halachically effective marriage. But the Gemara says, why do you have to argue about this? They already had this machlokis once. The itmar kidsha al tnai v'kansa. If a man went ahead and was mekadesh woman al tnai with a condition, right? With a condition. Rabbi will say, whatever the Tanai is, right? Let's say he went ahead and he made a Tanai. Rashi says, Reshein Allah Nedarim O Mumin. He made a Tanai. I'm only marrying you on the condition that you didn't make any Nedarim. You don't have any outstanding vows. Okay, and then what happens? The Kansa Stam. And then what happens, Rabbi will say? And then he went ahead and he married her. Married her means he had relations with her. And then it finds out that what? She had made Nedarim. She made nedarim. So what's the halacha? Rav amar tzricha men a get. Rav says that if they want to dissolve the marriage, he has to give her a get. Shmuel amar ein tzricha men a get. Shmuel says he doesn't require a get. Rav amar tzricha men a get. Rav says you require a get. Why? Kevan did naspa achlei. Achle litinoi. I will say achule achle litinoi. So I will say Rav's position is like this: that essentially what we call is something called chibas bia. That essentially, again, a man might make conditions, but once he has an intimate relationship with his wife, he forgives all of those previously expressed conditions. And therefore, although at the time of the Kiddushin he made this Tanai, that's because, again, they didn't have this intimate connection, but now that they have this intimate connection, at the end of the day, he's willing to release all of those Tanayim. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, in a tzvich emen a get, you don't need to get. Why? Kolabol al das kiddushin harishonim hu boel. Because Shmuel holds that Rabbi says, whenever there is biyah, biyah is always an extension of what? Of the original kiddushin. Because the original kiddushin had a tanai, if it turns out that even after the biyah, the tanai, the condition was not satisfied, the marriage is automatically dissolved even without a get. So the Gemara says, so therefore, why do I need to state? So now essentially what we're saying is we have two different places in which this machlokis of Rav and Shmuel is expressed. Rav seems to hold that once there's biyah kind of cancels out, from the husband's perspective, any previously stated tinoim, and that was Rav, thank you. And Shmuel holds that, no, kol boel al das kiddushin harishonim hu deboel. So now we've stated this same machlokis twice. And the obvious question is, why twice? And the Gemara says, Tzricha, you need them. I'll tell you why. Di'i itmar bahahi, because if it would have just stated this first case, bahi, meaning the case of the Tanai, bahi kamarav mishum di'ika tana, v'chevan deba achli la tanai. Because again, in the case of Tanai, since there was bia after the Tanai, that's when the husband is mochal on the Tanai. Ava baha, Ema Modi Leila Shmuel. But in the previously expressed case, in the previous case of the Kitana who becomes a Gedola and then accepts marriage from another man, perhaps Rav would agree with Shmuel. The Iitmar Baha, and had it only expressed the Kitana case, Bahach Kamar Shmuel, in that case Shmuel states his position of Kola Boel Al Das Kiddushin HaRishonim Udu Boel Ava Bahach, but in the case of Tanai Eima Modele L'Rav, perhaps he agrees with Rav, therefore it's Tzricha. In other words, we both say the cases are dissimilar. So because they are dissimilar, you would not necessarily have been able to go and extrapolate from one to the other. Umi amarav I ba'al in I lo ba'al lo. And does Rav really hold up this idea that Lamaisa, the only way to concretize a marriage with a Ketana once she becomes a Gedola is if there's Bia with her once she becomes a Gedola? To which the Gemara answers. Vaha. Vaha hahi uvda dahava binarash v'ikdash v'ikdasha, excuse me, kishi ketana v'gadla. But I will say there was this episode in Narash. Narash was a place. So what happens? A man was mekadesh woman, she was a ketana. And then what happens? V'gadla. Then she grew up. She became a gedola. V'osve abe kursia. And then what happened? They put her on the marital canopy, meaning they were taking her to the, they were like on the marriage float, right? Like this was the big thing. The Kali used to come in on a float. You know, I'm sure it'll come back, you know? So what happens? So the Kali is coming in on the marriage float. So what happens? The asa achrina v'chatfa mina. All right, you don't see this every day. So what happens? So she's mamish on the marriage float. And what happens? Another guy says, I love you, marry me. And she says, okay. Okay. So what happened? And what happened? Rav Chanan and Rav Rona, who were the Talmidim of Rav, were there. And they did not require of her to get a get from the second one. Which Rabbi Osei, now we're assuming that what's the progression of this case? She's on the marriage float. So where is she heading to? What's the assumption? She's heading to the chuppah, right? So what's clear is she married this man as a ketana. She's now heading for like a solidification of her nisuin. There has not yet been bia. Another man now comes along and gives her kiddushin. She accepts the kiddushin from this other man. The talmidim of Rav are there, and what? They tell her, forget about this narish kite. Just go back to your first chuppah, get married to the first husband, and they don't require a get from the second, which indicates to us what? That Lamaisa, her marriage to the first husband was solidified by the fact that she became a gedola, even without what? Even without bia. And again, at the end of the day, that contradicts what Rav said before, to which the Gemara says, no, Amar Papa, Benarash, Minsav Nasivi, Vahadr Mose Abe Korsia. No, you've got the facts wrong. You think that the float was a precursor to the chuppah. It's not true. In fact, what happened in Benarash is the actual quote-unquote marriage as a gedola already occurred. This was like Sheva Brachas, right? This marriage float was after they had already consummated their relationship. So there was bia. So because there was bia in this case, that's why the Talmidim of Rav did not require a get. Ravashi Amar, who asa shloka hogan lefichach asa bo shloka hogan. Ravash says, no, in truth, the reason why we didn't require a get in this case is because that second guy acted really inappropriately. Right? According to most opinions, it's not appropriate to propose to a woman who's on her way to her chuppah. Right? So again, it's a machlokes, but the idea over here is that this guy acted inappropriately, and therefore lemaisa, we acted in quote unquote inappropriately with him. So the Gemara says, Vafkinu Rab. And what happened? I would say, in fact, the Gemara is suggesting that his kiddushin should have worked. Meaning, what the Gemara now is suggesting is, no, the truth is there wasn't bia yet. If there wasn't bia yet, so then what? So then why is it that the Talmidim of Rav didn't require a get from husband number two? To which the Gemara is saying they penalized the guy because he did something wrong. Therefore, we penalized him. How did they penalize him? His kiddushin did work, but the rabbis have control over kiddushin. So what did they do? They nullified his kiddushin. Now, that's fine in a case where, let's say, it was Mekadesh or with Kesef, with money. Kadesh Bebia Mai. What happens if he would have been Mekadesh or with Bia? Shavi Rabbanan Lebi'ilasa Bilasas Nos. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is you could change the nature of money. Right, you could change money from Kesef Kiddushin to just the Matana. You can't really, Bia is Bia, you can't really change Bia. To which the Gemara says, actually, you can change Bia. You could change the character of Bia from a Bias Kiddushin to a Bias Znos. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha, so I'll say, okay, so first of all, just so you should know, the way this particular piece ends over here is that Lemaisa, again, is that Lamaisa, if a father marries off his daughter and there is biblical kiddushin, that marriage is biblical, and even when she becomes a gedola, nothing really has to be done in order to affect that marriage. When there is kiddushe kitana, that is dirabanan. Let's say the kitana is married off by her mother or her brother, which is only rabbinic marriage. In order for that rabbinic marriage to ever morph into biblical marriage, once she becomes a gedola, there has to be a bia. Now, you don't have to have bia. We call it bia l'shem kiddushin. It's automatically bia l'shem kiddushin because they're already in a marital context. But technically speaking, the marriage is not fully vested as a biblical marriage until there is bia with this girl once she becomes a gedola. Now, the Gemara ends up by saying, "Orav Yudam Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer." K'Rabbi Eliezer v'chinam Rabbi Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say that this is going back on Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer was the opinion of the Mishnah who said, Melamdin Asakatana Shetimain. So Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that Lamais, in the case of the two brothers who were married to the two girls, one was a Kitana, one was a Gedola, and the husband of the Gedola dies, Gedola falls before the husband of the Kitana for Yibum. Husband can't do Yibum with this woman because it's his wife's sister. The problem is he has a biblical obligation to the Yavama, only a rabbinic marriage to the Kitana. So Rabbi Elazar said that what? We tell the Kitana, do Mion. Do Miyun, get out of this marriage, that your sister could perform the biblical, or that your husband could perform the biblical mitzvah of Yibum. The Gemara says that's why Paskin like Rabbi Elazar, and in fact, that's how the Rambam Paskins as well. Says the Mishnah, Mishayna, so the Shtei Yisomos Ketanos, someone who is married to Yisomos Ketanos, two minor orphans. And I will say, now remember, when we say Yisomos, see, Yisomos just means no father, right? Doesn't have to mean orphan in totality, just no father, meaning, that's another way of saying that what? Rabbinic marriage. So someone who is married to two girls who were rabbinically, and we're both saying, Rashi points out, Nachrios, they are not related to one another. They're not related to one another. Umes. And what happened? He dies without children. So now what happens? These girls fall before his brother for Yibum. So bi asa o chalitzasa shel achas mehem patera sarasa. So you don't have to go ahead and do something with both of these widows. Rather, again, bia or chalitza, Yibum or chalitza with one of them will take care of the other as well. Patera sarasa. V'chein shtei charasho. So too, if a man is married to two women, both whom are deaf and mute. We'll say, now what's the common denominator between deaf and mute and kitanos? Both are rabbinic marriages. Right, because remember, a chareshes, a person who is deaf mute, cannot affect biblical marriage, only rabbinic marriage. So the idea is, what the Mishnah is really saying is, if you have two wives who are both of the same status, and then a man dies childless, those women fall before the brother-in-law for Yibum, or the brother for Yibum, excuse me, their brother-in-law, but the deceased husband's brother for Yibum. Lamaisa, you don't have to do something with both of them, but because they are of the same status, whatever you do with one will automatically exempt the other. V'chein shtei charosh, I'm sorry, kitana v'chareshes, what happens if he's married to two wives? One of them is a kitana, one of them is a charesha. So both say, now, the common denominator here is what? That both the marriages are dirabanan. The difference is, they're different dirabanans, right? They're different forms of rabbinic marriage. So in that case, ain bias achas mehem patera sarasa, then both say, because they are of, so to speak, different statuses, even though they're both rabbinic marriages, therefore, if the husband dies childless, the yavam will have to do yibam or chalitza with each of these women. Pikachas v'chareshes, same thing again, if one of the wives is a pikachas. Pikachas means totally normal. V'chareshes, and the other one is a deaf mute. In that case, bias ha-pikachas, poteras ha-chareshes, v'en bias ha-chareshes, poteras ha-pikachas. So I'll say, in that case, if you go ahead and you do yimur chalitza with the pikeach wife, that takes care of the chareshes wife, which is logical because she has a biblical marriage. So essentially, if you do something with the biblical marriage wife, that takes care of the rabbinic marriage wife, but vice versa is not correct. Gedola, kitana, same thing. If one of the wives is a gedola, one of them is a kitana, bias hagedola poteras hakitana. So bia with the gedola will go ahead and exempt the kitana. The ain bias hakitana poteras hagedola. But bia with the kitana, meaning yibum with the kitana, will not go ahead and exempt the gedola. So we'll say the klal the Mishnah is espousing is, if you have two wives in the same exact halachic level with the same exact type of halachic marriage, then lemaisa yibum or chalitza with one will take care of the other. If they are dissimilar, then you have to do something with yibum or chalitza with both of them. If one is on a higher level, one is on a lower level, yibum or chalitza with one will take care of the yibum or chalitza for the other. Says the Gemara, the chareshes bas chalitza. Can you do chalitza with a chareshes? Right? Is there such a thing as chareshes? Because also remember, chalitza, as we spoke about, requires what? Requires kriya, right? First of all, it requires das. Requires das. But let's say you could express some level of das. We spoke about, well, it requires das, and on a technical level, it requires kriya. Now, right, reading of psukim. Now, the truth is a little bit anticlimactic. We learned already before that kriya is not ma'akev, right? Kriya is not ma'akev. But again, not everybody holds it. But we learn that if you have a chereish that did chalitza, right, that's the man, or chareshes shechalitza, or the yivama, the woman, was a chareshes v'choletzes min hakatan, or someone does chalitza min hakatan, all of these cases, chalitza sapsula. In all of these cases, the chalitza is pasul. Amarav Gidl, Amarav. So Avgidl is the name of Rav. Oh, what are we talking about? Abia. We're talking about a case of Bia, not a case of chalitza. Rav Amarav says, no, afilu tima al chalitza. You could even say it's tima al chalitza. Why? What's the case? So how could a chareshes do chalitza? Kan be chareshes meikara. Kan be pikachas v'achar kach nischarsha. One is talking about a case of chareshes meikara. So if a woman was a chareshes from the beginning, then what Rav say? Then in that case, lemaisa, she can never do, she can't do any kind of chalitza. But in a case where she was chareshes, however, in a case of pikachas va'achar kach nischarsha, where she was, again, a pikachas, a pikach, we'll call, for lack of a better term, complete or normal in the beginning, and then she became a chareshes. In that case, again, she does possess das, and therefore the ma'isa, she could affect chalitza, kihechi da'al, kihechi da'al, hechi nafak. So the Gemara says, because in the same way that she comes into the marriage, that is the same way that she goes out. Look at Rash, kihechi da'al, lebal rishon, shekinsa beremiza, hachanami nafak miyavan beremiza, the same way that she enters into the marriage with remiza, with signaling, so too she could leave the yavam with remiza as well. So the Gemara says, pikachos, va'achakach nischarsha, lo, dima'akva bakriya. But in a case of where she was a pikachos and then she became a chareshes, so the problem, of course, is she can't do complete chalitza. Why? Dima'akva bakriya. Because we'll say, what's going to happen? She can't read the psukim. We'll say, remember, one of the things we came out with the Gemara there, by the kriya, was that there is this shita that holds that although kriya is not ma'akev, kriya, right? You don't have to kriya for a chalitza, but that's only if what? That's only if you have the ability to do kriya, but don't do it. Remember, we had that principle by the Karba Mincha of kalaroi lebila, ein bila ma'akevespo. But v'chala ein aroi lebila, bila ma'akevespo. So sometimes, as long as you can do something, even if you don't do it, it's not ma'akev. But if you can't do it, then it's ma'akev. So in this case of the chareshes, she can't do the kriya, and therefore the kriya is ma'akev. Eisei abar savari zekasha, the chareshes meikara bas chalitza. Is that true that the chareshes meikara is really a bas chalitza? V'hotnan. That's how we learn. Shnei achin. If you have two brothers, echad pikeach, the echad pikeach, the echad cheresh. One is normal and one is a cheresh. Is there a better word for normal?
Competent.
Okay, good. I like that better. Fine. Somebody is competent. Somebody is competent. Fine. Two brothers. One is competent and one is a cheresh. So what happens? Nesu and l'shtei nachrios. They're married to two women who are not related. Achas pikachas v'achas chareshes. And we assume that the pikach is married to the pikachas. The cheresh is married to the chareshes. What happens? Meis cheresh bal chareshes. So what happens? If the cheresh man, the cheresh husband, who's the husband of the chareshes, dies, ma yase pikach bal pikachas. What should the pikach? The husband is the pikach, who is the husband of the pikachos, right? The competent man, the husband of the competent woman. What should he do? So we'll say now, at this point in time, he has now his sister-in-law. Remember, these are unrelated women, so, meaning the women are not related. So his sister-in-law, who is a chareshes, now falls before him for yibum. So what should he do? So the Gemara says, Konis, he should marry her, do yibum. And if he wants to divorce her, he could go ahead and divorce her. Rashi says over here, Kones, why? Shina bas chalitza. Now remember, we'll say essentially his options are he can marry her in Yibum, but he can't do chalitza with her. Why can't he do chalitza with her? Because she's eina bas kriya, bless you, because she can't go ahead and read the psukim. But I will say, but that doesn't mean he has to marry her. If he can dissolve the union, how can he dissolve the union? With a get, Rashi points out. He says, "Vim ratzal lahotzia achakach motzia beget shekashem shenichnas abramiza kach teitzi abramiza velotzricha chalitza." So we'll say. So Rashi says over here that lemaisa he should go ahead and marry her, and then afterwards, if he doesn't want to remain married to her, he can go ahead and give her a get. Now, technically speaking, he could also give her a get from the beginning, even initially, without marrying her first. However, let's say the reverse case. Meis pikeach ba pikachos. What happens if the pikeach dies, and now what happens is pikachos' wife falls to his cheresh brother? Maya, so what should they do? Konis. he should marry her, right? Do yibum ve'eino motzi la'olam, but he can never divorce her. Rashi says, "In koni say motzi la'olam." Is actually interesting. She'in gita mafkia kiddushi achiv pikeach she's kigal lo yomro. So listen to this. See, here you have an amazing case. Remember, yibum is an extension of the first of the deceased husband's marriage. In this case, remember, this is the pikachas, her marriage to her pikeach husband was what? Was what? Was biblical, was Doraisa marriage. So now again, Yibum could occur with the Charesh's brother. The Charesh's brother can never divorce her. Why? Because the only level of divorce he could issue is what? Is a rabbinic level of divorce, which will not undo the biblical Kiddushin, or the biblical Yibum that is an extension, or I should say the Yibum that is an extension of the biblical Kiddushin. So what are we talking about? My love, the Charesh's Meikara. Are we not talking about a situation where the woman over here was a Charesh's from the beginning, but Katani Konis in Chalutz Lo? And what are we talking about? We said that he can only do Chalitza and can't do Yibum. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And we only said that he could only marry her, but there is no Chalitza. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, there is no Chalitza by a Chareshes. To which the Gemara says, no, lo, but Pikachas v'achar kach nischarsha. No, what's the case? The case is where she was first the Pikachas, and then only afterwards became a Chareshes. Tashma, another Braisa, Shnei Achin Pikchinisu and Shnei Nachrios, two competent brothers. I'm going to stop translating it because you know what it means already. Right? Two brothers who are Pikchin marry two Nachrios. Nachrios also means two unrelated women. Achas Pikachas v'achas Chareshes. One is a Pikeach Pikachas, one is a Chareshes. Watch this. Meis Pikeach Bala Chareshes. So the husband, remember, both husbands are Pikchim. Both husbands are normal, competent. So what happens? So the husband of the Chareshes dies. So now the Chareshes falls to the other Pikeach husband for Yibum. Maya ase Pikeach Bala Pikachas. So what should the second husband who's the Pikeach, the husband of the Pikachas, what should he do? Konis, he should marry her. V'imrotze lahotzi yotzi. And if he wants to divorce her afterwards, he can do so. You know, presumably, how will he divorce her? How will he divorce her? With a get. Because remember, same thing, she can't do chalitza, because lamaisa, again, she can't read. She can't articulate. However, again, meis pikeach ba pikachas, ma ya'ase pikeach ba chareshes. But let's say again, in this case over here, let's say now, the man who was married to the pikachas dies, so now the pikachas falls to a pikeach brother, who happens to be married to the chareshes. So what should he do? O choleitz, o miyavim, he should go ahead and do chalitza, or do yibum. Right, because remember, this woman is a pikachas. So he has the option, chalitza or yibum. My love, midahava, pikeach meikara, hinami chareshes meikara. So are we not talking about the same way that in this case, that the woman who is the pikachas, that the man who is a pikeach, is a pikeach meikara, so too she who is a chareshes meikara, vikatani konis in choleitz lo. And yet, what are we saying? That she can only do yibum, but can't do chalitza. And therefore, again, this would not be another raya that what? That a chareshes can't do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, no, lo, midi iria hakidisa vakidisa. No, there's no reason to equate the statuses of the man and woman in this situation. So remember, just to keep your eye on the ball over here, all we're trying to figure out is there was a statement of Rava, that lemaisa, again, a chareshes can't do chalitza. That was the assumption over there. So all we're trying to do is to keep on challenging that particular statement. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Esve, another kasha, Shnei Achin, you have two brothers, Echad Pikeach ve'echad Chereish. One is a Pikeach and one is a Chereish. Nisuin Shtei Achayos. We're married to two sisters. Oh, so now we're getting a little bit more complicated. Now we're married to sisters. Two brothers. One is a Pikeach, one is a Chereish, who are married to two sisters. One is a Pikeach, one is a Chereish. So what's now? The assumption is what? The assumption is Pikeach, brother is married to Pikeach wife, Chereish, brother married to Chereish wife. What happened? Meis Chereish ba Chereshes. So the Chereish brother, who is the husband of the Chereshes, dies. Maya says, what happens now? The Chereshes wife falls before the Pikeach husband for Yibum. So Maya said, "Pikeach ba pikachas." So what should the pikeach husband? The husband of the pikachas do? Now this case is more complicated because not only is this woman a chareshes, but what else is she? She's the sister of his pikeach wife. So what should he do? Teitza mishum achos isha. Truth is, it's an easy case. There's no yibum. There's no chalitza. Why? Because again, lemaisa, she is his wife's sister. So there's nothing talking. There's nothing doing in that case. However, listen to this. Meis pikeach ba pikachas. What happens, however, if the pikeach dies, and now his pikachas wife falls before his cherish brother? So what does he do? Motzeis ishto beget. So we'll say, now you have a complicated situation. Why? Because now the cherish brother has in front of him a biblical relationship of yibum, right? Because it's an extension of his brother's biblical kiddushin, versus what? His rabbinic marriage. So what does he do in that case, Rabosai? Moses ishto beget. He divorces his chareshes wife with a get. The eshes achiv asur li olam. Now I will say, here's, remember this was, we saw this in the previous Mishnah. Ayla li ishto, ayla li yivimto. I'm sorry, we saw them correct. So right, remember again, he divorces his wife because again, he has to be able to technically do Yibum, but then he can't do Yibum. Why? Because now this woman is the sister of his divorcee. So right, so he's kind of nishtahin nishtaher. So v'chitema hachinami, so we'll say v'chitema, I'm sorry, Moses ishto beget, v'eishis achav asro li olam, v'chitema, maybe you'll see over here, hachanai b'kefa achakach nischarish, maybe you'll see over here, the case over here is also, where again, she was first the pekeach, and then afterwards became a cherish, so excuse me, that he was first the pekeach, and then became a cherish, mi matzi mafik, and that's the case, would he be able to go ahead, and issue a divorce, v'hotnan, we learned, nischarsha, if she is a cherish, yotzi, he's permitted to divorce her, nishtatis, lo yotzi, but if she became insane, right, deranged, so he can't divorce her. If a woman becomes a chareshes, then ultimately, again, there is a way, we'll discuss it actually, that you could dissolve such a marriage, such a chareshes. If she becomes nishtatis, which means there's no das, there is no way to dissolve that marriage. If he becomes a cheresh, or he becomes nishtata, lo yotzi olamis. Then Rabbi say there is no way for him to go ahead and effect a get. Rather, must you talk about a situation where he was a cheresh in the beginning. And therefore, again, Rabbi say because he was a cheresh in the beginning, the assumption is what? He affected marriage as a cheresh, and therefore what? He can dissolve marriage as a cheresh. And because he is a cheresh from the beginning, she's also a cheresh from the beginning. And from the fact that the case of sisters that we're talking about are cases of where they are charashos in the beginning, so too the unrelated case must also be there charashos in the beginning. Utnan gabi nachrios, and yet we learned in the case of the unrelated women, kones in choleitz lo, that ultimately again they could do yibum, but there is no chalitza. Ishtik, see what's silent. So both said, this seems to refute that point that lemaisa again a chareshes can't do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, ki asa lekamei de Rav Yosef, amalei, my time atu semeha. So when Rav Yosef came along, he said, why did you raise the objection from here? The yachal is shenuri lecha, because this objection could be answered. Achayos chareshos meikaros nachrios, nachrios pikchos. That ultimately, again, you could have answered that in this case over here, the case of the sisters was a case of charashas meikara, but the case of the nachrios, the unrelated sisters, was pikchos, where they were competent, the acharkach nischarshu, and then they became charashas later on, and that would resolve the contradiction. If you wanted to ask a kasha, you should have asked the kasha from here. Shnei achin charashin nisuin shtei achayos pikchos. You have two brothers charashin who are married to two sisters pikchos. O shtei achayos charashos, or two sisters who are charashos. O shtei achayos achos pikchas pikachos va'achas charashes. Or you have two sisters. One is a pikachos, one is a charashes. V'chein shtei achayos charashos nisuos l'shnei achin pikchin. Or you have two chirish sisters married to two competent brothers. Olishne achin charashin, olishne achin, or to two brothers, echad pikeach ve'echad cheresh, hare elu peturos min achalitza u'min ayibum. In all of these cases, the women are peturos from chalitza and from yibum. V'im hayu nachrios, but if they were, because we'll say in all of these cases these were sisters. V'im hayu nachrios, if they were unrelated, yichnosu. You can go ahead and do yibum. V'im ratzu lahotzi hotzio yotziu, and if you want to divorce them, you could divorce them. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema bepekchim ulabasof nischarshu. If you want to say it was a case where the brothers were competent and then they became charashim later on, mi matzi mafik, would the brothers have the ability to affect divorce in such a situation? But we learned nishtatis lo yotzi. If she became insane, he cannot divorce her. Nischare shu o nishtate lo yotzi olamis. If he became a cheresh or he became a shote, he can never affect divorce. Elalav acharashin meikara. Rather, it must be what? Where he was a cheresh from the beginning. And since, again, he was a cheresh from the beginning, in hunami charashos meikara, so too these women must have also been charashos from the beginning. Vikatani, and yet what do you see? Im hayu nachrios, yichnosu. If they were unrelated, then you have the ability to affect yibum. Yichnosu in, you see, you can affect yibum. Yachlotsu lo, you can't do chalitza. Therefore, the Gemara says tiyufta diraba tiyufta. Therefore, it turns out that we have effectively refuted the position of Rabba. What did Rabba hold? That Rabba hold that a woman who is a chiresh mitchila is able to do chalitza. We've now effectively refuted Rabba that a woman who is a chareshes mitchila is unable to ever affect yibum. The only thing that could be done in such a situation is the husband is unable to affect chalitza. Thank you. The only option she really has on the table is yibum and then a get, or technically speaking, a get by itself, but she lacks the ability to affect proper chalitza. All right, we'll stop over here.